We worship you and we exalt your name, for there is no one like you. We truly appreciate the fact that you have been faithful to us. You have provided our spiritual and physical needs according to your riches and glory. O Lord, as we are about to receive your word, Lord, prepare our hearts, that our hearts will be receptive to your word. Father, have mercy on us wherever we have failed you. Hear our cry and glorify your name, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon is titled, Are You Tired of the Storms of Life? Today's message focuses on the presence of trouble and grace in both our texts and in our world. So I pray that this sermon will strengthen your faith in the Lord as you live faithfully in these challenging times that is before us. In 1 Peter chapter 1 from 3 to 9, God's word mentions a few problems, a few troubles that deserve our attention. But you know, if we are to focus on each of these problems, then I am assuring you that it will, you know, this service will be like one of those services in my African community where you come in the morning and then you stay for almost the whole day. So we are not going to focus on the entire troubles mentioned in this text that we have read. But I will focus on one, just one, and that one is trial, which is specifically mentioned in verses 6 and 7 of the text. And a trial is the process and also the times of trouble through physical and or spiritual challenges that require you to take a stand. So it is one of those times or processes that we go through, and it is not easy. It's not a bed of roses. And it can be physical, it can be spiritual, but it's important that we also note that a trial calls us to take a stand. Mm-hmm. A trial isn't just calling us to go through what is happening without taking a stand, because that will make the experience one-sided. So it is a process that isn't sweet at all, that requires us to take a stand. Mm-hmm. And an example of a trial is just what we saw during the Passion Week, what Jesus had to go through, the tremendous trials that Jesus faced. Now, in the mid first century AD, Christians were feeling crushed, devastated, and overwhelmed because they suffered physical abuse, social exclusion, and false accusations from their unbelieving neighbors. Now, the persecution started in Jerusalem and slowly spread to the other parts of the Roman Empire. And so Peter, being one of the apostles, he wrote this letter to encourage and to also remind the believers of who they are and why they are still on earth. Now, as true as it is that our text mentioned that Christians were suffering due to their devotion to Jesus Christ, there is also suffering in our world. So there is not just suffering or trouble in our text, but there is also suffering in our world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, pain does not give a pre-arrival notice. It doesn't send you a postcard to say, you know what, Earl, I am coming next week, so get prepared. No, trouble doesn't do that. You know, it doesn't send you notice ahead of time. And so it doesn't also give you the solution to the problem. You know, it doesn't say, hey, Phil, I am coming next week, and this is how you are to solve the problem. Okay, it doesn't do that. And that is one of the reasons it is difficult, challenging, and also hurting people a lot. For example, a trial we face today, which I have said quite a lot, is the coronavirus. That is one trial we face today. And this virus is killing a lot of people. And not just is it killing a lot of people, but it has changed the way we live our lives. Currently, we are facing a very difficult trial for our faith and health. Now, when I say, you know, for our faith, I am talking about some believers in Christ who are beginning to doubt because of what is before them, you know, what is before us, beginning to doubt, beginning to ask some very interesting question about their faith. So it's a difficult time for faith and health. Now, and I know that we are observing both social and physical distancing, and we are staying at home. But sadly, I would say that we still don't know the full picture of the trouble this virus has brought upon us. Mm-hmm. We still don't know. For instance, between March 23rd and April 8th of 2020, China opened the Wuhan province where the COVID-19 outbreak first began. And that was good news. You know, that was good news. However, reports coming from a city in that province, in the Wuhan province, show that divorce rates have risen, beyond expectation. Why? Because couples were stuck together at home during the compulsory lockdown to prevent the spread of the virus. And so as at April 6th this year, there were 206 divorce cases. When you compare to the 311 marriages that took place in the first quarter of this year in the same province. So before the lockdown, the basic reason, the basic grounds for divorce in that city, in Wuhan province, was infidelity. That was the basic grounds for divorce. Mm-hmm. But after the lockdown, it is not infidelity that is the reason, but it is lack of space. Couples couldn't just stay together for obvious reasons. And that, to me, it's telling us that we really don't have a full, you know, the full picture of what is happening, you know, what this virus has brought upon us. Mm-hmm. Moreover, you know, there are people that are committing suicide as a result of the virus. Just on Friday, you know, when we met in this community to pray, Mavis did share with us prayer concern about a child, you know, a teenager, I think, who committed suicide because this person couldn't just contain having his life changed, you know, the way he used to live his life. And March 30th of this year, Thomas Schäfer, who was a German official in charge of finance, killed himself. He killed himself. Why? Because of the impact of the coronavirus on the economy. Mm-hmm. He just couldn't take it. Now, brothers and sisters in the Lord, all these are bad news, right? Mm-hmm. I know, but the good news is that both our text and our world don't only have problems. Our text and our world also present grace. Mm-hmm. There is grace in our text. There is grace in the world. Now, I look at our text and I see so much abundance of riches in grace. A lot. For example, you know, scripture says, in God's great mercies, the believers have received a new birth. Now, through the resurrection of Jesus and this spiritual rebirth, the believers have received the priceless gift of eternal life with God. That is grace. You know, that we have eternal life with God after this present life. Mm-hmm. Moreover, in the midst of the trials that believers face, by grace, God, you know, God is shielding them by his power, according to verse 5. The power of God is at work protecting his people, mm-hmm. according to verse 5. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is great news, mm-hmm. that God's grace is available, is visible, is there for us. Now, let's spend a minute or two on the grace of God in displaying his power, you know, to protect believers in Christ. The Greek word translated shield or protect can also render as those who are being guarded. Now, what does that even mean? You know, God reserves for the believers an eternal inheritance in heaven, which is, you know, a calm place, a safe place that doesn't have any virus, that doesn't have anything to disturb your inheritance in Christ. So your eternal inheritance is safely kept in a calm place. But the believers whose inheritance are kept in another place, they face many trials. They face injustice and affliction almost every day. And so since the inheritance of the believers is not for the here and now, but safely kept in a place that nothing will touch your inheritance, you know what God is doing in the present? God is guarding you. God is guarding you, because what point is there if you have an inheritance somewhere, but you are not protected in order to be safely led into your inheritance? You see the point? So no matter what you and I are going through, we have our inheritance safely kept. That is God's word. I am not the one saying this. That is God speaking. And so God is saying that, you know, I am going to protect these children and safely lead them to their inheritance. And this is good news. But also, you know, the Greek word translated by in the same verse 5, 6, and 7 is crucial, because it points to both the cause and the means through which God's power protects believers in the craziness of the present in order for them to be protected and guided to their inheritance. And so God is the cause is the cause of the power to guide, while the believers, your faith, the faith of the believers, is also playing an important part. You know, an important part. It is the means through which God's power shields you and leads you into your eternal inheritance. And so there is a divine human cooperation in making this work. It's not just going to be one side that is making this work. It has to be divine human coming together in order to make this work, in order to safely guide you to your eternal inheritance that is safely kept. Therefore, Christians should not deceive themselves or think that they are being guarded by God's power unto salvation if they are not living by faith and working together with God. Because as I mentioned, there is a need for a divine human cooperation in order to make that work. Now, there is not just only grace in our text, but there is also grace in the world. And I'm excited about that. Now, it's even interesting to see the signs, you know, the presence of grace in this challenging time that we live in. Now, I have read some interesting acts of kindness that, you know, just melted my heart in gratitude, you know, and praise to God. For example, the story of this young woman who was going to do her grocery, and as she was about to enter the store, she heard someone yelled at her. And the person, you know, the lady that yelled at her was in her car. This young woman turned, saw the lady yelling at her, and she went to the lady. And when she got there, she saw that there is an elderly woman and an elderly man. So an elderly couple, in short. They were in the car, and the elderly woman driving, I mean, just opened her window a little bit and told the young lady that we have been sitting in this parking lot for about 45 minutes, just waiting to see someone whom we could feel comfortable to ask for help. You know, we cannot step into the store for fear of our health. You know, this couple are in their 80s and they just sit there in their car, you know, just panicking and almost in tears, asking for help. And, you know, this young lady said, sure, I can do that for you. And the elderly lady took her grocery list, gave the young lady and gave her $100 note. So this young lady went and did the shopping for the couple, brought their groceries, put them in their trunk, gave the elderly woman her change. Now, I don't know what you will say about this or how you were thinking about this, but that is grace in action.
Grace.
That is grace. That is grace. This senior couple had been waiting in their car for nearly 45 minutes. They are afraid for their lives. And someone just came, someone they did not know. Someone that offered to help. That is grace. Or we here in PCIP supporting families in this time, families that need food. Some call, some we call, and they are being supported with food. That is grace. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think about that, but that is grace. Unmerited favor. That is grace. Now, what the young woman did to the elderly couple, once again, it is an expression of God's grace in the world. But I must stress that all acts of kindness are a display of God's grace, whether or not they were acted upon or they were done by a believer or not. It's not a point. And why isn't that a point? Because God enabled kindness in us by creating us in his image and likeness. So if we are showing kindness, it's because God has enabled us to show kindness, because God is kind. So we show kindness because God is kind. And that is good news. So brothers and sisters, the problem is that it's not about just showing kindness, but the problem is who receives the glory after an act of kindness has been shown. The believer in Christ would return glory and honor to God. And that is how it should be. But those who do not, who bask in the glory because they have shown kindness, then that becomes a problem. But aside that, all acts of kindness are God's kindness. And so our text is telling us that just as there are troubles in the text that we read and also in the world, we also have grace. We have seen grace in the text and grace in our world. Now I wish to ask you a question. What are the spiritual and physical trials you are facing currently in your life? Now just take a few seconds and remind yourselves of all of them. Don't leave out anything. Just think about these challenges that you are facing. Don't leave out anything. Now, are you ready? Listen, a trial in a courtroom has a judge, has members of the jury, and also it has lawyers, clerk, and police, and witnesses and spectators, right? Has all these people together. Now, there are times that you are going through a trial that it may feel all people in the world is like everything is just stuck up against you. I mean, you just cannot seem to break through this wall that is standing in front of you. You just can't. You try all you could, but nothing seems to be working. Nothing. Now, I want you to think about trials like that as appearing in a court, in a court with the judge, the members of the jury, the police, the clerk, the lawyers, the witnesses, and even the spectators are there ganging up against you. You are the only person who is, just standing, who is being attacked. Just see yourself, just see, your challenges in that way. That everything is stacking up against you. You were standing in this court, and the enemy is taking the day, is winning the battle. Just look at it that way. And at such time, witness after witness, they take the witness stand and they testify against you. The members of the jury are looking at you and either laughing at you or smiling at you, with evil intent. The judge is even looking at you and saying some very nasty words at you. The lawyers will come and say all manner of craziness about you. And the spectators who are sitting there, who were supposed to be silent, they are applauding each time someone said nasty things about you, which you know isn't true. Look at it that way. Dearly beloved, there is nothing you can do at such time. At such times, nothing you can do. But one thing you can do is this. Let them, let the judge, let the members of the jury, let the clerk, let the lawyers, let the witnesses, let the spectators, let the police, all of them, let them take their temporary victory. It's a temporary one. Okay? It's a temporary one. Why so? Because there is a Supreme Court. There is a Supreme Court. And in that court, there are three people. There are three persons. The Father, Son, and the Spirit. And you know, the Son is advocating for you, is praying for you. Now, this court is saying all manner of evil about you. You know, Christ is appealing to the highest court. And when it is taken to that Supreme Court, where God sits to pass the judgment, and the Holy Spirit is your counselor, you are sure of victory. Mm-hmm. You are sure of victory. So let them, you know, let all these trials that you face, let them take their victory lap. That's okay. It's just for a short time, because Jesus is appealing. He's appealing to the next court, to the Supreme Court of justice, where God sits to render justice to you. And then I wonder where that judge would be at that time. I wonder where those members of jury would be at that time. At that time, the walls you see are stacking up against you. I mean, all those forces you see as coming up against you will give way, because you have Jesus appealing for you, advocating for you. You have God passing the judgment. You have the Holy Spirit as your counselor. Mm-hmm. This is good news. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, are you tired of the storms of life? Don't give up. Don't give up. This current court may be saying all manner of evil against you. You are trying to protest your innocence, but nothing seems to work. Don't give up, because it's not all over yet. Someone is appealing to the next court for you. And when you get there, you know, it's a slam dunk, because God is there. God is there to pass judgment. And you know, God's judgment is justice. God's judgment is righteous. God's judgment is something that no one will cook whatever evil, whatever thing about you and succeed. And I am sure at that time, smiles will be on your faces. Mm-hmm. And you will share testimonies to God's glory and honor. And I look forward to that time when we will share and celebrate and dance for what God has done. Amen. And now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God of new life, Christ came speaking words of peace and understanding. O Lord, we truly are grateful to you for strengthening our faith and empowering us to live with hope and trust in you day by day. We are grateful that you give us courage to face our fears and struggles, patience to endure moments when the way ahead is not clear, and resilience in the face of new realities. O loving God, we pray for the many places of brokenness in our world. We think especially of those suffering in the COVID-19 outbreak, those with the disease, those who have lost loved ones, those working hard to respond to the pandemic, and those who have lost work or lost hope. In these moments of silence, Father, we name the situations on our hearts today, all those places in need of your restoration. Father, we pray for those who struggle with the experience of the church. Lord, open them to your love and grace so that any pain and church, you know, any pain that the church has caused will be healed. Guide us with your spirit of wisdom to know how to live out our faith in ways that create pathways for others to find you and not becoming barriers, O God. Lord, we pray for this congregation and the towns around us. We pray for the Presbyterian Church in Canada and for the Church of Jesus Christ in every country and culture. In these days of unexpected challenges, Lord, you know, these challenges when worship and fellowship have been disrupted, Lord, please strengthen our trust in you and our concern for others. Make us good stewards of time apart to reflect on your presence with your people in circumstances of deep challenges. Lord, help us maintain the joy we know in the risen Christ. We also pray for ourselves, our families and friends, our neighborhoods and communities. We lay before you in silence all the people and concerns on our hearts and minds today. Father, we are grateful that we can place all our worries and our hopes into your hands, O God, knowing that you will hear us and respond. Hear us now as we offer the words our risen Lord taught us to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,